Morning. I feel like we kind of need a little previously at Cross Creek section before the sermons as we continue to follow Luke. And I don't want you to be left out. So previously at Cross Creek. Really, previously in Luke's gospel, as we've led up through some Old Testament prophecy to the birth narrative of Jesus, to the presentation of Jesus to Simeon and Anna, and leading from there to Jesus, we have alluded to him teaching in the temple as a 12-year-old. We've alluded to his, we talked about his baptism, his obedience, even he who had no sin, into a baptism of repentance. From that baptism, though we did not spend a bunch of time talking about it on Sunday, we know that he went and experienced temptation as he determined what kind of Messiah he was going to be. And returning from that temptation, he made his way to his hometown where he gave his first public sermon that we have recorded in Luke, which we talked about last week, where he reads from Isaiah and talks about freedom for captives, the release of prisoners, sight for the blind. And then people are astounded, and then he says, by the way, that's not about you. And they try to throw him off a cliff. And he makes his way through the crowd. Before we get to today's reading, we know that Luke, as the gospel writer, who uses both an unnamed source and the gospel of Mark as he compiles his understanding of the life and ministry of Jesus, also taking account from eyewitnesses, he begins to pick up kind of a very quick rhythm of events that occur in the ministry of Jesus. After Jesus escapes through the crowd and is not thrown off the cliff, Jesus goes and performs many miracles. He is casting out demons. He is silencing demons. He is telling them not to talk about who he is. And one of the things that occurs is important, and that's why I'm talking about it. Luke does an interesting thing in his gospel. He puts some events in a different order than the gospel of Mark. And that is that we are introduced to the character of Simon by the illness of Simon's mother-in-law. Before we get to today's story, Jesus is called by those gathered to go to Simon's house where his mother-in-law is sick. And Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. That's the story that immediately precedes this story. And he's so powerful and he's so amazing that the crowds kind of try to trap him and tell him he can't leave. And then, as Heather alluded to earlier, Jesus being weird says, no, I've got to go all over Judea, and then stays in Galilee at least for the next little bit. But he tells them, I can't stay exactly where you want me to be, and he goes off. And that's where we pick up today's story. He's on the coast of a large, large lake, and the crowds are pushing into him, and the crowds are so great that he looks over and he sees these two boats docked, beached, close by. And so he goes and he gets in and he says, hey, you guys pull over there. And he sets down on the boat so that the crowd can see him, and he continues to teach. Then he looks over and one of the boats belongs to Simon, who will be named Peter. And he says to him, he says, hey, you know, let's go out a little deeper, like really deep, and let's throw your nets again out there. And Peter says, yeah, you know, I hate to admit this to you, Jesus. I'm a fisherman by trade, and we've been fishing all night, and we've caught nothing. But if you say so, we'll do it. And so they go out, and they cast the nets into the deep water. And the nets are so full that they struggle to pull them back onto the boats. And the boats are then so full that they almost sink coming back to shore. And then Peter says, I'm a horrible sinner. Get away from me. Which sounds weird to our ears, but is a very common occurrence when one encounters the divine. And Jesus says, no, instead of that, how about this? From now on, And Luke's term is very interesting. All the other Gospels make this great pun about fishers of men, fishers of people. Luke's literal language is, you will be one who nets people. He doesn't make the easy pun. He makes an allusion to the net and the capturing alive of people. And then we know that Peter and those who are his partners, the sons of Zebedee, that they leave everything behind and follow Jesus. It's a captivating story. It's a story that ought to make us wonder what in our lives is so captivating that we would be willing to walk away from everything we have in order to follow it. What could capture our hearts and imaginations so vividly that we would set aside our livelihood, our way of life? Let's back it up a little bit, because I think the clue to being able to find that which captures us starts a little earlier in the story. Jesus is being Jesus. He's powerful. He's amazing. He's doing all this awesome stuff. And he sees these boats, and he sees in Luke, it's particular what they're doing. In other gospel accounts, they're doing other stuff. But in Luke, they are cleaning their nets. They're done for the day. They've packed it up. They've not only packed it up, but they're getting the water out of the nets. They're cleaning them. They're pulling the kelp and the detritus off of them. They are preparing to go home because they are exhausted and they have failed. I love the internet memes about you only had one job, right? Have you all seen these? Where people will talk about you've only got one job and it's like a fire lane, except it's spelled F-R-I-E. That's not how you spell fire. Did you guys get that? F-R-I-E. Somebody's job was to go paint a stripe and put the word fire on it. That was their job. And they put F-R. And my immediate reaction is, man, people are dumb. The first worship guide I ever printed at my church in North Carolina said Northwest Baptist Trutch. Yep, my degree in English pays off very well all the time. Fortunately, I use super scrolly font, so you couldn't tell, really. And that's why my cursive is always really awesome. We got to admit, right, like, we see people and we're like, man, they are such failures. And that's where we stop, unless we're willing to go a little deeper and realize that we, too, are constantly caught up in some sort of cycle of failing to achieve that which we really want to do. Peter has to admit, first of all, he has to start by stopping his busyness. He's busy, right? He's doing something. Jesus, leave me alone. I'm in the middle of something. Can't you tell I'm cleaning a net? There's a great pun there. Who's a net? Come on. Come on. Active brains, people. Punning is a disease. I'm sorry, David. We know he's in the middle of cleaning this net, and he's exhausted, and he is a failure, and he is asked by this guy who he might have known from when he healed his mother-in-law. Maybe he didn't. Just this dude who says, hey, look, man, I'm getting crowded. Can we stop what you're doing and go out? And the very first thing that Peter does right is he stops his busyness and he responds to the call of Jesus. This isn't before the big call. This is just a, hey, why don't we do this little thing that may seem unimportant, but is this kind of gateway to obedience. He's willing to set aside his temporary goal to figure out where this other thing is going. And then, when this other thing is Jesus, and he gets done teaching, and he looks at Peter, and he says, well, now that we've done that, and we're already in the boat, I know you're done. You've been fishing all night, but what if we just went on out to the really deep water? And if y'all understand how places with fish work, as Sophia put it, if you understand how water works, the deep water is very often not close to shore, right? That's how it works. So, yeah, you quit what you were doing busy, and now I want you to work, again to go further out. And then once we're out there, away from where you were doing your business, I want you to take those nets you already cleaned, that you just got done with, and I want you to put them in the deep water. I love Peter's confession of being a failure. So, Jesus, we've been fishing all night, and basically, I'd love to tell you the fish aren't biting, but a net doesn't really require the fish to bite, so the fish aren't there. They're not swimming. We've been doing this, and it hasn't worked. And Jesus is like, it's cool, man, try it again. And Peter is willing not only to stop his busyness, but now out having worked to get to the deep water, he is willing to let go of his clean net and throw it out in the water again, knowing more than likely this exercise in futility is simply going to cause him to have to re-clean his nets once more. And that's when the awesome stuff happens. He throws the net out, and it becomes so full that he has to call his partners over to help get it in, and they get it in, and they get the other boat, and they finally get back to shore, and they've almost drowned. And maybe the real miracle is that the nets didn't break. Maybe the real miracle is that they were able to get this much. Maybe the real miracle is that there was a person willing to put aside their busyness to figure out where this Jesus thing would go. And so he goes out and he comes back with this net, and he is awed because he has experienced the power of God in front of him. And so he comes to this great moment of confession, like all the prophets. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. And he repeats a word that actually Jesus has used over and over right before this to cast out demons. He says to the demons, get away. And now Peter says to Jesus, get away from me. And Jesus, when confronted by our brokenness and our confession, does what he does. Yeah, I get that. I get you're a pretty bad fisherman. You failed last night, at least, until I was here. I get that you probably used some of those sailor's words. I get that you are broken. But instead of chastising you, or instead of me going away from you, I got this better idea. What if you just followed me? And instead of this miraculous catch where the net didn't break and the fish that weren't there are suddenly there, how about you become one who nets people? Peter, confronted with grace and a call, leaves it all behind and becomes the extremely flawed and wonderful rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ is built. It's an amazing story that doesn't happen without initial willingness from Peter. We live in a culture that worships busyness. We worship it. We brag about how busy we are. Now, man, I can't do that. I'm too busy. We put off valuable things for the sake of what? Peter sets aside his busyness to find a larger agenda. And get this, the real miracle, if we chase Peter's life down, the real miracle is that this non-breaking net thing is going to be the thing that keeps happening to him. Because he throws this net down and it doesn't break. And then Later on, he's going to be netting people, but he's going to keep thinking that maybe there's too many in the net, Jesus. And we ought to exclude some folks before this net of forgiveness breaks. And Jesus will be like, man, look, we've done this already. The net won't break. Grace is larger than it should be. What willingness do we have to start that journey? I mean, and I'm talking to people who are in church a lot, right? So starting seems like a weird thing. But look, every day we are at war between those things which seem at first glance to be urgent but are unimportant and those things that matter. Every day we are being called to cast a net that requires struggle and change from us. To be out in the deep, dangerous waters where all manner of fish swim by. We are called to be out there, sometimes against our own agenda, to be ready to experience, to be willing to experience the miracles of God in our midst. There's real good news in this story, by the way. Luke, time and time again, will tell us that Jesus takes people from where they are and moves them to where they're supposed to be. And it doesn't have anything to do with how good they are. It just has to do with their willingness. We live in a world that says you can only do something based on your proficiency, based on your goodness, based on your ability, your talent. But we worship a God who says, yeah, that doesn't really matter. Because when you're with me and you're really with me and obeying, then I'm going to take wherever you're coming from and whatever you've got, and I'm going to take that willingness, and we're going to catch some stuff. Some fish, some people. But it all starts with this willingness to put aside that which we thought was so important in the moment. And that's the call today. What is it that we are holding on to so tightly? What nets are we cleaning that are keeping us from getting out into the deep with Jesus? I don't know what yours are. I could name a lot of mine. But I know that somewhere there is this voice saying, hey man, put that down and let's go. And my prayer for all of us is that we'd be willing to give it a shot. Amen.